morning, everyone. Too would like to greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for our redemption. As we were having that discussion this morning in Sunday school, the question was raised of why were the Pharisees so against Jesus? And why was it so hard for them to accept him as the Son of God? And I think sometimes it was because Jesus spoke to their hearts, and he could see right inside their hearts. And they knew that in their hearts they were not right. Even though they had a good front and a good religious system, they had their details down to the very minute detail. But yet inwardly they were hypocrites, and their heart was not with God. And Jesus could see that. My burden this morning: Jesus can still see inside our hearts this morning, brothers and sisters. I'm not sure why my mind went to this subject. It's just something that stood out to me as I've been reading through Exodus in my personal devotions. And I was just really impressed with the seriousness of Exodus chapter 12. You can turn there with me in your Bibles. I didn't know what the Sunday school lesson was going to be when I felt this impression and didn't really look at the lesson too much until this morning. But it was just impressive to me how that thought just really stood out to me as we were going through the lesson, of how Pharisees were pricked in their hearts and would not accept Jesus because he spoke right to their hearts. He could see right inside them. And that just really stood out to me, of how Jesus can still see inside our hearts this morning. We can put on a good front, but he knows what's in our hearts. In Exodus chapter 12, this is leading up to this chapter. The children of Israel, as we know the story, were in Egypt there, and they were in bondage. They were slaves to the Egyptians. They were forced to work hard for Pharaoh, and they were treated cruelly, and they cried out to God, and he heard their cry. And we know how God called Moses to go to Pharaoh and to ask him to let the Israelites to release them out of bondage, out of Egypt, so that they could worship him. And we know how time and time again Pharaoh would refuse. God hardened his heart, and he would always refuse. God performed all sorts of miracles. There, Moses would, or Aaron, I believe it was, would throw down his rod and take it up again. It would become a snake, and then it would become a rod again. And there was all the plagues that God performed. The rivers turned to blood. There was frogs everywhere. There was lice come out of the dust. There was flies everywhere, boils on the animals. There was hail. There was locusts. And there was the plague of darkness. And we know how every time Pharaoh would refuse to let the Israelites go, he hardened his heart. And then we come to chapter 11. Before we go there, I just want to focus on the theme verse this morning is found in chapter 12, verse 13. It says, "And the blood shall be a token, shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are." And this phrase is the title of the message. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and against all the gods of, I'm I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Let's turn just to chapter 11, verse 4. And I think we're going to take the time to read this whole, from 11, verse 4, all the way through chapter 12. And Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it in any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from among the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. And for whosoever eateth leavened bread from that first day until the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days Shall there be no leaven found in your houses? For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he be a stranger or born in the land, ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out, and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to these and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, Rise up and get you forth from among the people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We be all dead men. And the children took their dough, and the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds and very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. And all the congregation of the children of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. let's just think and consider for a minute the importance of the blood on the doorposts. Parents, can you imagine waking up in the middle of the night to find your oldest son passed away? Or maybe your oldest brother is suddenly gone. You woke up in the night and he's dead. But if the blood was there, their lives were spared. It was a life or death matter. That blood on the doorpost was a life or death matter to the children of Israel on that night. And it just stood out to me, you know, why didn't God would have been able to just strike the Egyptians with blindness and they could have just walked out of Egypt without any preparation. But the children of Israel had to prepare in order that for them to be spared from the death angel. We see how God gave them specific instructions to prepare for their salvation. And we know how they followed God's instructions because they believed that this was going to happen. This was for real. They had faith and they believed that God was going to do this and that they were going to leave Egypt now. After all this time of Pharaoh hardening his heart, they believed that this was now going to happen. And so they followed God's instructions and they were saved. I'd like to just take a look at some of these preparations that God told them to do and just apply them to our lives today a little bit. First of all, we'll look at verses 3 to 6 in chapter 12. God told them to take a lamb, and it had to be without blemish, no defects. And they were to kill it. They were to sacrifice it. And I'd like to think of that today in our hearts. We need to be willing to give our best to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." That was the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Give your heart. Give your best to the Lord. Give your heart. You know, when we give our heart to Jesus, it requires us to submit our will, our desires, our whole life to His will. That's hard to do. It goes against our nature. But we must give our heart, our whole heart, to the Lord to experience salvation. It took time to prepare for this. We need to be willing to give our time. You know, I had to think sometimes we can get caught up in our own pursuits, our own personal interests in life, our own pleasures that we like to do. We may have hobbies. I'm not saying those things are all wrong. But instead of spending all our time pursuing our own things, we need to take the time to help someone in need, to help others, to work in the kingdom of the Lord. Give your time. And the third thing I'd like to think about in giving our best to the Lord is it required them to give of their possessions. These sheep, these lambs that they sacrificed were of their possessions, and they were to take the best of their possessions and give it to the work of the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Jesus told the rich young ruler to sell all that he has and distribute it to the poor, and then he'll have treasure in heaven. And then he said, "Come and follow me." Are we willing to give our possessions to those in need? When Jesus saw the poor widow giving just two mites, that's the equivalent to like two pennies, into the temple treasury. He said, this widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of the Lord, of God. But she of her poverty hath cast in all the living that she had. I had to think, you know, it's not how much we give that counts, but it's the attitude of our heart when we give that God sees. Do we give our hearts, our time, and our possessions with an attitude of gratefulness to the Lord? Or do we give grudgingly? In Exodus 12, verse 8, instruction that God gave, that I'd like to look at, is that they shall eat the flesh with unleavened bread. They shall eat with unleavened bread. That was very specific. Leaven is like yeast, and it's an ingredient that is used to, as we know, in bread to make it rise and to puff it up. Somewhere in, I forget which passage it is, but it says that there's a small amount of leaven that affects the whole lump. It spreads out. It takes just a small amount of yeast to make a whole loaf of bread to rise and be puffed up. In Luke chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Jesus told his disciples, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. The point I'd like to take from this for us today is that we must be free from the leaven of hypocrisy. Trying to appear holy when our heart is far from God. Our motives must be sincere and true. Another leaven that we could think of is the leaven of pride. Pride is something that makes us puffed up. And pride comes in many different forms. We can be proud of our accomplishments when we really don't deserve the credit for it. Only God gives us the increase. We can be proud of our humility. Put a show of humility on and feel proud that I'm better than this person or that person because I don't drive a fancy car or whatever it is. We can be proud of our humility. Sometimes our pride gets in the way of us reaching out to help others around us. Sometimes our pride gets in the way of us even being willing to accept help from others. Sometimes our pride gets in the way of us opening our hearts to the Lord or to the brotherhood. Pride has a lot of different forms. We must be free, brothers and sisters, of the leaven of pride this morning. Another form of leaven that it talks about a little bit, you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 6 to 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. It says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We must be free from the leaven of malice. Malice is the desire to cause pain, injury, or distress to another person. gossip and slander are forms of malice that spread through the whole lump. We must be free from the leaven of malice. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." And it goes on to say that we shall run with patience the race that is set before us. Lay aside those weights, the leaven in our life. Get rid of those things. And the sin which does so easily beset us. Those things that bog us down and hold us back from experiencing salvation. Lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Back to Exodus 12, verse 11. The third point I have that I'd like to think about in their instructions on preparing for the Passover. It says, "Eat with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand." The point that I'd like to apply to us today is that we must be ready to go at any time. Another translation of this verse would say it this way: be fully dressed, wear your sandals, and carry your walking stick in your hand. Be ready to depart at any time. Are we ready? You know, today we too are in bondage to sin. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. We too were in bondage to sin and self. We had no power on our own to be set free, just like the children of Israel there in Egypt. But brothers and sisters, there is coming a day when God is going to bring judgment on all sinners. But praise God, He has made a way for our salvation through the precious blood of the perfect, sinless sacrifice of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Brother Dan brought that out a little bit this morning in Hebrews there. Jesus is a superior sacrifice for our sins. And we too need to prepare for our salvation from eternal death by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that this is going to happen, by living in readiness for His return, and by following God's instructions on how to live in holiness. Hebrews 9:28 says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Let's turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. It says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Verse 2, "that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of this coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." There's people that say, this isn't going to happen. They've been talking about this for as long as we can remember, and it hasn't changed yet. Nothing happened yet. Verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Time is not the important thing. Time means nothing. And then in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. God is not slacking on his promise that he is going to judge the earth someday and return for his people. It is going to happen, but is long-suffering. God is not slack. He's not shirking his responsibility, but instead he is long-suffering to usward. He's giving humanity more time. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. A thief doesn't call you and say, "I'm coming to steal from you." A thief doesn't call and give an alert or an alarm out. A thief comes when we're not ready, when we're not watching. We don't know when it'll happen. In the which it says, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, be watching, be ready, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The burden that I feel this morning is some challenging questions that I would like us each to ask in our own hearts. Am I living in readiness for that day of judgment? Are my sins covered by the blood of Christ? And do I really believe that this will happen? Let's just consider the importance of the blood, the atoning blood of Jesus. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17, it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number." First, this chapter starts out with the 144,000 that were sealed out of the tribes of Israel. And then there's this great multitude in heaven, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The beauty of heaven is hard to fathom. Brothers and sisters, the horror of hell is also hard to fathom. Only those who have their sins covered by the blood of the Lamb will make it to heaven. This morning, eternity is real. It's either heaven or hell. I just would like to close with this thought that the songwriter has put into words. Would to meet him bring you joy or sorrow? Are you ready for the midnight cry? Let's kneel for prayer.